Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss. This is the show where we discuss you moving to a community that you can control, or controlling your existing community. We discuss doing for self and living in separate societies that we can control so that we can do for ourselves. Tonight, our guest, our host for tonight, is none other than Dr. Richley Abdul-Mumin Muhammad. He is the farm manager of Muhammad Farms. And we're going to open his mic right now. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Rijni.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Okay, good. I'm in my studio truck because it doesn't work too good in the house. It works for a while, then they shut me down. So hopefully we'll be on for the full hour without them shutting me down.
Yes, sir.
And tonight, we're going to discuss cryptocurrencies, bitcoins, et cetera. Is Sister Gina on?
Sister Gina, if you are on, press the 1 on your keypad so we can recognize your line. Okay, looks like we have her. Is this Sister Gina?
Yes, sir, it is. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Well, alaikum salam, Sister Gina, and we're going to discuss cryptocurrencies, bitcoins, et cetera, and I want you to listen to this video, this tape. It's for everybody. It's just about 3 or 4 minutes. It's by Catherine Austin Fitz, the former Assistant Secretary of HUD. She discovered they were stealing money from her account, from her budget, into the secret fund behind the Congress back, where they were doing developing weapons, et cetera. And so now she's talking about the Great Reset and about how they stole all this money, and now they actually go to eliminate currency. So anyway, Brother Carlton, you got that queued up?
Yes, sir. Can you go ahead and start it?
Yes, sir.
So when you say digital currencies, you know, at many of these events I've been speaking at, many of my friends are, you know, big on Bitcoin or Ethereum, saying this is our way forward. This is how we set ourselves free. This is how we break free of those power mongers running the world. And it sounds like you're saying, no, that's exactly how they finish the debt flow.
This is not what the central bankers are planning. And I sent your staff a 56-second of the video of the Bank of International Settlements General Manager Carstens explaining exactly what it meant.
Okay, we've got it. Yeah, let's play it. Let's see what it says. Okay.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
All right, so I hear what sounds like controlling finances, but give me the lowdown.
So this is what this means. You will no longer have a currency. You will have a credit at the company store. If they don't want you traveling more than 5 miles from your home, your credit card, your bank account won't work more than 5 miles from your home. If they don't want you, let's say they decided you shouldn't be able to buy pizza, you can't buy pizza. You're talking about complete control, you know, at a very intimate level of both surveillance, because remember, there's no privacy. They'll be able to track every transaction you make. So we're talking about a credit at the company store and literally a slavery system.
And you think, you know, based on, so Bitcoin, so then what is Bitcoin? Is that, or, you know, and the other cryptocurrencies that we talk about, are you saying central banks are going to take on cryptocurrencies themselves, or are they going to take over Bitcoin, or exactly
So central banks would issue their own central bank digital currency.
Okay.
And the question is, would the regulators increasingly regulate cryptocurrencies, which I think the answer is yes. Will they allow them to coexist? Maybe. But if you look at the way the system will be implemented, you'll find that the vast majority of retail transactions will end up being in the CBDC system. So this is the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies have been very useful to help the central bankers prototype how they might want to run their systems. So they've been very useful as a prototype. Whether they're allowed to continue or exist, big question mark. I think at the end of the day, the central banks are basically planning on being the dominant player in the market.
So
it's a control system. This is a re-engineering. So here's the question, Dell. If I'm the central banks and I'm basically going to destroy the sovereignty of governments and the power of the electorate to affect the budget, the question comes down to how am I going to collect taxes if the electorate has no power and doesn't feel like they're sharing in the financial system? And the way you do that is with a CBDC system. You can just take the money out of the account. This is taxation without representation.
Wow. I've seen some of your videos.
Okay, Dr. Rizzi.
Yes. Okay. So, Sister Gina. So
yes,
tell
sir.
Us, what is this? Y'all talking about what? Cryptocurrency or Bitcoins? And how is that going to help us in total separation?
Because we can become our own bankers, and we'll be able to purchase directly from each other. It's what you call peer-to-peer. You don't have to go through no third parties. And like they said on what you just played, the video that you just played, that central banking is going to control everybody's money, and they'll be able to see everything that you do. And with decentralized, they can't do that. It's more private. And it's like anything. I'm not trying to tell people to go into Bitcoin. My goal is today is to just guide or pique people's interest to go learn about it. It's just like the minister said, he knew that all of us weren't going to be Dynetics auditors, but he wanted us to read the book so we had some idea what's going on, because it's going to come a day in time when you're going to have a digital wallet in order to get paid. You better know what they're paying you or they will cheat you. You don't know what the currency is, so we have to learn. It's the big shift in our currency. Go ahead.
Let me ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who owns the computer? Who owns the computer? Because everything goes through somebody's computer in the cloud, right?
Yeah, you own your own computer. You can do it even on your phone.
I know it, but
and
I'm saying
matter,
is that the information, mm-hmm. the information that right now, I can go down to the bank and see my money. Now, where is the money at?
Where is the
cryptocurrency?
In your wallet.
Is it in
you
my
have
wallet?
Digital wallets. You sign up for digital wallets. They don't keep none of your information, so it's very important that whenever you sign up for these wallets, that you write down, you record what email you use, what your password is. They give you seed words because they don't control none of it. And if you don't have that
I don't
stuff,
say
then.
I don't understand because I know right now I got all types of accounts with all type of passwords on my computer and on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But if my phone don't work or if the internet is down, or if they decide that they're going to discontinue my service, what can I do? Because I don't have no control. Somebody else got control.
Yeah, and banks can do the same thing. They have control. That's what the young lady was speaking about. Is how the banks are going to turn everything.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing whether you're dealing with cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, or if you're dealing with a bank. Because they're going to phase out fiat money. Paper money is going to eventually phase out in a couple of years. This is just the beginning of it. And everything's going to be digital.
So everything's going to be on somebody's mainframe.
Yes.
Who owns the mainframe?
Here's the thing. The bank is going to create their own blockchain. And that's like it's like a journal. It keeps track of all transactions, but only they're going to be controlling it, so they're going to be able to see everything you do. When you're doing, and that's what happens with central banking, because they keep a tab on everything that you do. They can see everything that you do, and that's the way they want it. They can shut you down whenever they get ready to.
But who owns,
or they can hold your money and say you can't access it for a certain amount of time because of whatever they dream up to say.
Who owns the mainframe for the crypto or the Bitcoin? It's still got to go to somebody's mainframe.
It's a blockchain. People, when you put stuff on the blockchain, and when someone
on somebody's computer. It is on somebody's computer somewhere. It's not in outer space.
It's algorithm. It's
on
the mathematics
computer.
Thing. Yes,
on somebody's computer.
Somebody does do it. I mean, like, I'm still learning myself about this. This is why I think it's very important that we learn, because I know a lot of places. Whoever the company is, I use Exodus Wallet. Exodus has their own blockchain.
Who is that?
Is a wallet. Is a company that has a digital wallet.
Who are the people who own the company?
Most of them are overseas. Most of them are overseas. Yeah, most
so
of them
words,
are out of the country because My money
is going to be owned by a company that's overseas.
They won't own your money, though.
Yes, they do. They got, if it's on a computer, if it's on their computer, if it's an algorithm, they can change the algorithm. They can lock me out. I don't have no control.
If I could ask a question at this point, can I interrupt with a question? Yeah, I have a question. It sounds like to be dealing with two things, the theory and the practice. Dr. Ridgely, to me, is asking theoretical questions. And Sister Gina is trying to explain with practical answers. And so I was going to ask Sister Gina, if you can give us a practical example of how I would use Bitcoin. Can I go out and buy a loaf of bread with my Bitcoin right now? Is this something that's coming up in the future, or is this something that we can do now? And if you could talk on the security of,
okay,
of it, because I understand exactly what Dr. Ridgely is saying about control, and he's speaking on with that interview. But if you can give us an example of how we can use Bitcoin today to buy a loaf of bread.
You can do more than that. So with the digital, you also have cards, just like you do with your bank card, reloadable cards. You can get physical ones and you have virtual ones. It's up to you how you want to do it. What I did is I took $400 of my Bitcoin. I cashed it. I changed it into USDT, and I loaded that onto my BitPay card. And I used that BitPay card just like I used my debit card. And I took my mom out for Mother's Day. You can buy basically anything. You convert it over to cash, and you use it. But the thing of it
$100? What does $100 come from?
It came from my Bitcoin.
I know, but how did it get
in other
Bitcoin?
Words, I take it. How did I get it?
How did you get into Bitcoin?
You can purchase Bitcoin.
With money.
With money.
In other words, you have to have money or your credit card or cash
on your credit card, in your account, whatever. You have to convert it, like I said, into cash. But it's in my Bitcoin wallet, which is the Exodus wallet. So I took the Bitcoin and I swapped it into USDT, which is another, it's what they call a stable coin, which the young lady mentioned in the video that you had on. It's a stable coin. And that means that it holds its value. So a lot of people, like when Bitcoin goes up and down, they'll put their Bitcoin into USDT and let it stay there if the market's going down. And then when the market starts to go back up, then they put it back into Bitcoin, so that way they don't lose out on money. But yeah, people can send you Bitcoin. It's a number of ways. There's certain ways you can go on. You can go on like Coinbase. They have little videos that you listen to, and they'll give you so much cryptocurrency, whatever one they're offering. And then as the market goes up, it gets bigger. You get more. Like I think I started with $10 on one called Tezo, and now it's up to like $60. And I never, that's just because the market has been going up and down. I didn't buy any more Tezo. I just left it there and let it see what it does. You can also do the same thing on Cash App. You can buy Bitcoin with Cash App. You got money on PayPal. You can buy Bitcoin with PayPal. So there's a lot of different ways that you can obtain it. And as far as the security goes, it's what they call 2FA. So that's the added layer of security. And the way you can do that is you have a company called Authy, and that's an app. It's called Authy, and you also have one with Google Authenticator. And when you put the 2FA on there, then when you go to log into your wallet to do anything, then it's going to ask you for that code. So you have to go to your authenticator, get that code, and put it in. And it's specific to you. So people just can't go in it and get your numbers. I mean, not unless somebody got your phone. I mean, you just have to protect yourself like with anything else. You have to make sure you protect yourself, and you can learn about that. All of it, you can find anything out, anything you want out on either YouTube or you can use Google. And once you put one thing in, you'll start getting a lot of other things from different companies that do articles to keep people updated on what's going on, like crypto.com, like HODL. There's a lot of different websites. One I looked at today was investopedia.com because it was talking about, I was looking up something called the UBI, which is the Universal Basic Income, which is another program that the government is talking about. And everything they're starting to do for the future, it's all going to end up being digital. They're going to phase it out. They're going to phase the dollar out because it's not worth anything anymore. So, I mean, this is what's going on in the economic system, and I don't want to wait until they do something and then say, you can't get your money for 90 days because we're doing the integration, we're changing things over, or whatever the case might be, which is why I like to decentralized banking, and I have accounts that I put my money into. And when I'm ready to use it, you know, the U.S. can't tax you on none of that money until you use it. Once you use it and change it into U.S., then that's when they'll be able to tax you. So as I was saying, they're doing this universal basic income. That's another program they're putting in, which means that at some point the way they'll do it is the government it's a program in which every adult citizen receives a set amount of money regularly. So, again, so they can regulate and know what's going on with people and keep them at a certain place. We're getting to that point where we were told it's either going to be rich or poor people and the middle class is going to get phased out. So, I mean, tomorrow. It's going to be a
few. Yes, ma'am. Can I ask another question, Dr. Vision?
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's back with Mayor Flaws, Dr. Vision. The video, the audio clip that Dr. Rigi played, he played it because the lady, Catherine Austin Fitz, she said that the current Bitcoin, as it's operating now, the central banks are watching it as an example, and they have the intention of either regulating it to their advantages or even making a duplicate cryptocurrency like it or even taking it over. And she said,
"They're not going to be able to take over Bitcoin."
She said, "When that happens, all of our currency wouldn't really be currency; it'd be credit. What's to prevent the central banks from taking over Bitcoin and doing what she'd be saying?"
Because first of all, they can't block into it. They can't hack into that blockchain. That's why it's more secure than just being in a bank, because the algorithms change every so many seconds. Plus the fact they don't even know who actually started Bitcoin, so they don't know who they're going. They don't know who to go to. They say let me get his name right. Satoshi Nakamoto is the one who was supposed to develop Bitcoin, but they never knew who he really was because he never made his presence. He never put that out there for specific reasons.
What's the basis for Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency? For example, the basis allegedly for the dollar was at one time gold, the standard. But we know that that's no longer the case. It's barely worth the paper that it's printed on, and then the basis for it now is just the promise right there from the government of America. What is the basis or the standard for Bitcoin?
Standard for Bitcoin is basically the blockchain because it's done with algorithms that when the blockchain runs, the algorithms change all the time. So, you know,
I was trying to study it myself. I really got stuck on what the blockchain really is and just try to get a practical understanding. And so,
did you ever watch the movie Matrix?
Yes.
The Matrix?
Ma'am.
Do you remember at some point you saw you would see all these little numbers and stuff like that on the screen?
Yes, ma'am.
So that's kind of, to try to give you an idea, that's kind of like the blockchain, because those are all algorithms on there, they change it so much that you cannot, it changes so much because of the way it's programmed. It's programmed to keep changing so that people cannot identify you by one number and be able to
That being said,
mm-hmm.
Do you see how, like, many people can be uncomfortable? Because it's like you said, I'm uncomfortable because I don't understand what you're saying. You said the blockchain is like the Matrix and the numbers changing. That doesn't make me comfortable. Not that I'm comfortable with the dollar right now based on somebody's promise, which we know is going to be yanked out. So I'm not saying, you know, I'm comfortable more with the other. And I do agree that it's sometimes we need a new standard, you know, to get our own currency, but I'm just—it's difficult for me to grasp the understanding of the blockchain and how it's secure from the central banks.
Well, yeah, like I said, because of the mathematics part of it, and that's what keeps it and basically, you're probably just going to. Because I'm still, like I said, I'm still learning myself, so I can't give
mm-hmm.
you all the answers, but I do see the importance of it. And I've been dealing with cryptocurrencies for like about 3 or 4 years now, and I've never had any issues.
Wow. Yes, ma'am.
You know, so.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. You haven't had any issues.
Yes.
That's good. Dr. Rizzi, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Everything okay?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yes,
I'm
we hear you.
I really, can you hear me?
Yes,
hear me?
Sir.
Okay, I still don't understand it, and you know, as a matter of fact, you know, I have that full video of Austin Fitz talking with Dale Bigtree. Now that's on his program, the HighWire.com, and I have the whole 51 minutes, and at the end of it, she gave a solution that I thought was, we didn't want to take up all the people's time, but she gave a solution that was so close to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is telling us to do that I think everybody needs to see the whole video down to the end. Because at the end she said what people need to do is to have their own community where they trade with each other with cash, not plastic. But with cash, because everything that's on plastic goes to the computer, and somebody could be able to hack into it or do whatever they want to with it. But cash is something you can control, and especially let's make up a piece of paper. It's just an IOU, a piece of paper saying, listen, if you do this work for me, I'm going to give you this piece of paper here, and I'm going to say that it's worth $10. Okay, everybody else in the community, when they see that piece of paper and we say it's worth $10, then if you want to buy some three loaves of bread, then they'll give you three loaves of bread for that piece of paper. Because that piece of paper, then they can take that piece of paper to somebody else who has something to sell. And since everybody trusts that piece of paper, or whoever backs that piece of paper, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam that backs it with our word, because our word is bond,
mm-hmm.
then that person would accept that piece of paper because what? They can use that same piece of paper to trade with somebody else. So this, and Dale Bigtree, as a matter of fact, he moved his whole organization, his studio, from California, and the people moved with him, and now they bought a farm where the headquarters is, and the other folks live around there. He talks about that in the end. So white people are pulling out of the system and doing what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Honorable Elijah Muhammad tell us we need to do. We need to pull out and set up our own economy. trade with one another, not be dependent on somebody else's platform. So that's why I thought it was so interesting. Because this other stuff, frankly, I just do not understand it, and I don't know how I can protect myself if they all of a sudden say, guess what, Dr. Ridgely, you ain't got nothing. You know, you ain't got nothing.
If we had land,
and I had a business, and we had an economy, you know, we have our piece of paper that tells us what we got, because what? It's just a means of exchange. But you got to have productivity. This is why trading amongst one another would work if we had something to trade. But right now, we don't have anything to trade because we ain't producing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Minister of Agriculture has to depend on shipping products out, and we would like to work with other black truckers, but we ain't got nothing to ship back in. So it goes out one way, but nothing comes back. There's no trade because nobody's producing anything. It's just the farm that's producing, and nobody else is producing. So we cannot have trade amongst one another. We're going to have to – well, we do a little bit here at Muhammad Farms. I mean, just now, I just delivered 10 cases of flour up to Durham to Brother Kevin, and I just delivered 2 cases of flour to Sister Majida. And then Sister Majida, she makes bread, okay, from the flour, and then we buy the flour from Sister Majida and the granola. So we got a little bit of a trade going on down here in the Ministry of Agriculture, trying to set something up. But, you know, this other stuff, crypto is something you don't understand. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has warned us about, you know, be careful about stuff you don't understand. Me, I know I'm a little slow, but I don't understand how I got no control over, because you know right now, Brother Carlton, I got a dead computer sitting on my porch, right? And it went down, not the new one, but the old one. It went down before I could transfer to my external hard drive. You know, I'd be doing it on a regular basis, so I have it on my external hard drive, but I wasn't able to do it and lost a whole lot. So this is why I'm very skeptical of anything on a computer, because all of a sudden some glitch could happen and you ain't got nothing, and ain't nothing you can do. Ain't nobody you can even talk to. So who is this guy? Like, again, the person who set it up, who is he? Why did he do it? Again, we don't know about the algorithm, all those numbers. Somebody understand them numbers, but we don't understand them. We don't have access to those numbers. So how do we know somebody can't manipulate the whole system? This is what Fitz is saying, that in the end, the central bankers are watching the cryptocurrency to see how it works. And as soon as they see the good part and the bad part, they just going to take it over. As a matter of fact, in the article I wrote in the final call, I talk about the Bill Gates and Microsoft own the patent, and the patent is for your smartphone to relay everything about you on a second-by-second basis based on some sensors that's going to be on your body or in your body, and it will take that information to the cloud, where an algorithm will determine if you have performed properly. And if you have performed properly, they'll put money in your crypto account. And if you have not performed properly, they'll take money out your crypto account. Bill Gates already has it patented. So they're just sitting there waiting on us. They want to remove currency and have everybody own these crypto currencies that's all based on algorithms, and then he's going to own the whole process. This is what this whole whatchacallit is about, this pandemic, is to put everybody to reset, not get rid of currency, give everybody a number, put that number underneath their skin. Some say a chip. Right now we know that these operating systems, they call them vaccines, but they're operating systems. They are transforming humans into the computer, hook them up, just like in the Matrix, to the central control, whoever that is. It took a long time to find out who that one person was in the Matrix who controlled everything. But the people were just slaves, and this is what they're setting up. So you can't be free on their platform. We have to have some land of our own. We got to start producing and trading amongst one another. And whatever we decide is currency, become currency because we say it. We say so because we control it. It is our word that will be bond. It used to be silver back in the 1800s up to the 1900s. Silver was the standard, and black folks had bought a lot of silver and was in the banks, the freedmen's banks. And then they changed it over from silver to gold to eliminate silver that we had and make everything based on gold. Again, that was because we were underneath their system and we had our banks in their system. We just going to have to completely separate and start all over again amongst self. This is what I'm pushing. I'm watching this other stuff, but I know that if it's on a computer, they can hack it. If it's on in the cloud somewhere, they can hack it. Somebody got control of that. So I just I just don't understand it. So I just have to sit back and watch.
But do we have a caller? Can we bring our caller on?
Yes.
Okay. The caller with the last four digits, 5244. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa'alaikum salam.
Brother Horatio calling from Alabama.
Yes,
can
sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, what I would like to say is that, you know, you can't fathom the depths of Satan. And Satan is involved in everything that's going on in his world. So he works both sides. But what I do know is that Master Far Muhammad is present. Allah will only allow Satan to do what he pleases. Now, I don't know anything about the crypto or the Bitcoins. I do know there have been some people with a lot of money, including Mark Cuban and others, who have lost money dealing with the digital currency. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us to pool together these dollars while they got some value, buy some land, begin to do for self and live among each other. And as we do that, we will come up with a way, a means of currency like all other people over the planet do. But trying to understand Satan and what he's got going on and believing in his system is setting us up for failure. So what I do know is that he said, pool these dollars together. He didn't say go out. There are a lot of people going out and getting gold, but that's only going to be good if somebody's going to take that. He told us to pool some of these dollars together while they got the white man's face on it and buy as much land as possible and move in close proximity and take over some of these areas and trade among each other. That's, to me, that's the solution. All the other stuff, trying to figure out what they mean and what they're doing, we are not going to be wise enough to be able to keep up with Satan because he worked both sides. He's the one set up the crypto. Nobody sets up anything in his world without him knowing about it. Likewise, nobody in this world is setting up anything without the God who's over everything knowing about it. And so he's testing us to see if we're going to follow what he told us to do, not trying to understand what the white man is doing, but what he told us to do. So that's what I'm going to do. Anybody else who want to do the other currency, they're welcome to do it, but they can have that. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Horatio.
Well, the only thing I can say at this point is that, Dr. Rivy, I know you said you don't understand. If you go and find something for beginners, that's the best way to start, as opposed to listening to something that's way, you know, that's talking way more than what you know. You understand what I'm saying? It's like me going into 12th grade, and I need to go to ninth grade first before I hit 12th grade. So, but being in 12th grade, I wouldn't understand 12th grade schooling because I haven't gotten that far yet, so I need to start a little lower where I can understand stuff better. But it's technology. Technology is going to be here. They're not going to get rid of technology. And, I, you know, like you don't, if you're smart and you use the technology you learn and use it and still do what we were told to do, take that money and use it to buy some land and farm it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying to just go into this and forget everything else. No, you never do that. But learn and use it to the best of our ability. If having Bitcoin or Ethereum or one of those currencies can net you some money so that you can go buy some land, because you can start with $10. You don't have to have, like, Bitcoin, I think it's up to, like, $46,000. You don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can buy a piece of it and still net a profit. And use that.
Can I make a comment?
Whatever it is that you need, whatever the goal is.
Yes, sir.
Can I make
go
a
ahead.
Comment, Dr. Richard? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
To Sister Gina's credit, I do agree that it's important that we have an understanding of the different methods and ways of the enemy. So I do think it's important that some of us have a pretty good understanding just in case that we have to do that to exchange. However, by the same token, with my limited knowledge, my observation is that the Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency is similar, or I see it similar to the stock market. It's like mm-hmm. it's a gamble of sorts. Like in the stock market, you look and you attempt to make educated guesses, and you put your money here, and if you're successful, then you'll make money. However, by the same token, if you're not experienced and you take your money and you do this, and you can lose it. And so for me, you know, I pretty much agree with Brother Horatio, his assessment. You know, in the long run, we do have to come together. We do have to, and what Doctor's saying too, we have to come together, and we can make whatever means of exchange that we want. But in terms of, you know, knowing about it, if you're excited about that, Sister Gina, I would say go ahead and become an expert at it, so you can inform us to where, you know, if it's ever a time that we need to do anything with it, we can call on you.
Absolutely. No, that's not a problem, because I mean, like, my dream is to have myself some land and you know, like a little farm. And I see this as a way of helping me gather some money together to get it. I'm not deviating from, you know, what I've been taught. I'm just trying to find a way that will help me, because I don't have a lot of money. Matter of fact, I'm on Social Security disability. You see what I'm saying? So I really don't, and at my age, you know, it's harder for me to get a job if I want to go back to work. I want to figure out how I'm going to survive myself the way I am before they take Social Security. I'm not, you know, I got a short-term plan. When I say short-term, I mean like about 3 to 5 years, and figure out, you know, the rest of my life, how I'm going to keep on. So, I mean, and if this is one way that I can make some a nest egg, if you want to call it, or whatever you want to call it, and I can use it to buy my land, get me a house on that land, so I can have my little farm. And I'm not even sure where I'm going to go yet, but I am working on it. I am working on my plan. So whatever I can do to do that, and I know we have to come together. I haven't given that up at all. You know, that's just what I'm doing. I mean, that's like I said, I'm not trying to get anybody to get into, just go out and just go buy some Bitcoin or Ethereum or any currency. I'm just saying learn about it so that, you know, when the time comes, you won't be blindsided. Because whatever you're going to have to do, they're going to force you into something. So you know what I'm saying? So you need to have education about it so you can make an informed decision as to which way you're going to go.
Well, you know, we have kind of waited too long, too late, because Honor be Elijah Muhammad us the opportunity to separate when we in the 60s, when we lived under segregation. And what we did under segregation was develop our own economy, because they wouldn't let us even go to their stores in certain
mm-hmm.
areas. So we had to develop our own. And at that time, we could have united in our separate mm-hmm. communities and traded with one another and completely left the white man out. But instead, they tricked us to come in. And now we're in, and the trader keeps making different interpretations on how we can earn more money than with our own. And so now we are stuck out there, and we have to do whatever game they put up. So, you know, I feel sorry for us. I don't know if it's too late, because I know that a lot of us are older now, and we talk about we want to farm, but farming is a lot of damn work. I don't see how you going to do it, because it's a lot of damn work.
Yeah, I know.
We have a caller, Dr. Richard. Could I be the caller?
Yes, sir.
Caller with the last four digits, 5178. Oh, I know who this is. This is Sister Majida. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton, Sister Gina, Dr. Ridgely, and all that are listening and participating. And I just want to thank you all for such an important and lively discussion. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all the information, and so many things are going through my head. And, you know, Dr. Ridgely, you just kind of put the pin in it with what you just said. I heard, you know, you a moment ago, Sister Gina, you said they're going to force you into something. And I thought that was a real interesting, impactful statement. And then, you know, Dr. Ridgely, you went right into my thinking. I think in part this is a byproduct of what you said, us not moving out sooner. So now we're in this position to where we have to make choices that we may not otherwise have had to make had we listened to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he said our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. I think about Black Wall Street and what they said about the economy, our economy, and the dollar. It said that that dollar circulated in our community among ourselves up to 1,000 times before it left, taking almost a year to leave our economy. So I have to agree with, you know, Brother Horatio. I don't see the need, me personally, for putting my faith in something that I and we can't control. You know, and we've all heard Catherine Austin Fitz say that, you know, the central bank is just going to watch this, and if they can't be the boss of it, basically they're going to regulate the hell out of it until they can own it or destroy it. So why do we want to get ourselves heavily involved in something that is going to be at a fall at some point in time? And I heard you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Gina, you said that the value of it fluctuates. It can go up, and if it goes up, you make more money. And that's what I was thinking, too. It's almost like the stock market, like we're gambling mm-hmm. on something to be more and hoping that it's going to be more so that we can use more of it, gain more of it, to use more of it. We're hoping, we're putting our faith in something that we don't control rather than us just coming together and putting our work and our value on what we can control among ourselves. So this is a very, very lively discussion, a very important discussion, because there's so many of us that are getting involved with knowledge or without knowledge about this cryptocurrency and digital currency. And, you know, is that the way? Or as you said, Sister Gina, they're going to force you into something. So you might as well do or get involved with something. I say, you know, like Brother Horatio and Dr. Ridgely and others have said, we need to get involved with being among ourselves and putting value in what we can control. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister. You said it better than I did, Sister Majida. You said it better than I did. You know, it's just, you know, the trader keeps making interpretations. And every time we go with the trader, he tricks us, and we lose. And after a while, we wear out and die. because we keep running behind the trader with its interpretations instead of us. You know, look at that, the Amish and the Mennonites. You know, they basically had no COVID. You know, okay, they you know, when they closed down the system, the restaurants, and they closed down this, they didn't bother them because they'd already pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they are surviving, and they work real hard. But I know that I got four of their buildings. Hold it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 6 of the buildings that the Mennonites build. You know, the little storage facility. You know, so they are building and trading and selling. They look funny, but they got money. We're busy trying to figure out how to get something for nothing, and we keep losing. Instead of trying to build something that has value that somebody wants, and they will trade either money or what they have of value for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to produce something. And right now, we are non-producers. So we got to produce something. That means you got to have some a land and some manufacturing plants making something. I know when you get up in an airplane and you go fly around, you will see a lot of buildings out there in the countryside with cars around it. Well, white folks is got a little manufacturing plant or a little shop where they may have 5 or 10 employees, and then they make something and they ship it out. Okay, where's ours? What are we making? What are we shipping out? I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Carlton.
We happen to call her. And caller with
yes,
the last 4 digits 7115. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, right now. Mom.
Yes. Yes, this is Dolores.
Hello, 7115. Okay, I'm going to sound like the child pushed the button, so I'm going to take them off.
Okay.
So this child must be interested in cryptocurrency, huh?
Okay. Okay, anybody else?
That's all the callers.
Oh, okay. So, Sister Gina, if the prices
yes,
go
sir.
Up and down, who controls that going up and down?
The Elon Musk, the Bill Gates. It's events. It's just like with the stock market. Events make the stock go up or events make the stock go down. And a lot of people, like you said, people get in that don't understand. And I'm just using an example. When Elon said he wasn't going to let people purchase cars with Bitcoin anymore. So then people not knowing, that makes it, from him putting that out there, it makes it the value of Bitcoin, so to speak, go down. People that don't understand and they just got in it because they see how, you know, they can make some money from it, but they never read up to understand what's happening. They get scared and they start selling all their coins. And then next thing you know, Elon turns around and says, no, I changed my mind. Bitcoin is one of the best things I could do, that people buy my cars with Bitcoin. Then it goes up again. And then those people that have already sold their coins because they didn't understand. See, that's the things that they do. We call them whales. The whales.
That sounds like manipulation, sister. That sounds like intentional manipulation.
Oh, of course.
That sounds intentional manipulation. Cause people to react in a certain way based on what a few people with power say.
Exactly, exactly. That's and they do it because when the people sell, the value goes down and they buy it at a lower price, and then they turn around and they say something to make it go back up again, and then they sell it and make more money. They sell it, you know, they trade it off for more money. So yeah, that's what they do. So, you know, and with every coin, they have what they call a white paper. So that's the way, one of the ways that you can determine what coin you're going to buy. You just don't buy any coin. you have to see what that coin is backed by, like if it's backed by electricity or whatever, you know what I'm saying, something of importance that would that you know is going to be around, we're going to need all the time, and that coin most times will work well. But, you know, again, you just have to just read about it and learn. I do a lot of things, and I start with whatever for beginners because I don't know. Like, they've got these NFT coins, tokens now, and I don't know what they are, non-fungible. I don't know. I don't understand that. So my thing is, and I just heard about it yesterday, is that I'm going to look online for a YouTube for beginners to understand what it is. And I know a lot of the because a lot of the entertainers are doing this, and they're, you know, I'm trying to understand what it is. I can't do everything, but I can try to understand things, you know, and I make my choice, you know what I'm saying, if I want to, if I don't. You know, some things you just won't be able to do because you won't have the funds, or it may not appeal to you. You get in, as we say, get in where you fit in. So, you know, what if it appeals to you and you want to do that, fine. But if not, then don't do it. You know what I'm saying?
I think
so. I mean,
I might be too old. I think I might be too old because what it makes me, I think about the manipulation and how much energy I have to put into watching my investment, because that's what it sounds like, to see how those that are in power and control are going to manipulate my investment to cause me to either gain or to lose. But if I have a dollar in my pocket and I know that that dollar is going to get me X, Y, and Z, it's fixed. I don't have to worry about it. I can walk into the store and I can see the prices, and I know that my dollar is going to only do what that dollar is going to do. And it's not going to be manipulated about how somebody feels today or what somebody sees tomorrow.
Yeah, but
you hope
that
dollar is worth what it is.
Well, I mean, it is what it is right now. But like we said before, in our own community, we put the value on what we want to put the value on. We have the control. If we want to say that the dollar can buy five things and three over here, then we as a community decide what that dollar is going to do. And it's not going to change tomorrow because Sister Majida said, well, no, or I changed my mind. You know, that's manipulation. I there's so much work to be done. I don't have time to sit and watch my dollar to see if it's going to be manipulated by Bill Gates or Elon Musk or anybody based on how they're feeling, you know, because, I mean, we're like pawns on a chessboard to them. So it's like I'm good. Thank you, sister. Thank you for the information.
Yes,
but I'm good. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
We're down to the last 2 minutes, Dr. Ridgely.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say thank you very much, Sister Gina, and Brother Carlson, and Sister Majida, and Brother Horatio. Again, this is something that we really do need to study. You know, I don't want to deter anybody from studying everything they can on what this is all about. But, you know, this is my area. You know, I've studied money and these games that the Jews have played for years, and this is the only solution, the best and only solution is separation into a territory of our own, and we begin to produce products and trade amongst one another products. But if you don't make anything, then you got a problem, and this is a problem that we have. We used to be producers, but now we're just consumers. And now we're trying to make money without producing anything of value. And that is a bad situation to be in, and that's our situation. So let's get it busy. Let's get busy now, y'all. Everybody got to start making something. Oh, praise due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
But I will survive. Good night. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for having me on. I enjoyed it. And I hope that, you know, you will get knowledge. I'm not saying buy it, but at least know about it so that you know, because technology is here and it's gonna keep rising and doing what it's doing, and we still need to know so we know how we can fit in or not fit in, you know, to make sure we survive.
Yes, ma'am.